Street Knowledge Soldiers presents Redemption. Today, we have Mr. Philip E. Walls, CDC number C92854, who is currently incarcerated with the LWOP sentence, which stands for the life without the possibility of parole, and has been locked up since May of 1983 for murder / robbery. Today we came into agreement about a story that transcended your life, hence the title of this interview that you chose to name it, Transcending. I'd like to welcome you to Street Knowledge Soldiers Presents Redemption. I'd like to open the floor for you, Phil, with my very first question. Today you are how old?
60 years old.
You've been incarcerated since what age?
19.
So that means you've been in prison for how long?
A little over 40 years.
That's 40, you say?
Yes. 41 years.
41, that's a long time.
Going on it, yes.
I'm 45, my friend. You've spent my whole entire life incarcerated. Not to mention, I've been here myself, 23. But you've been here my whole life, Philip.
It's a long time.
It is, and I like to say that you're labeled a murderer like me. On paper, they got me labeled murderer, and on paper, they got you labeled that as well. But the universe seemed different when it came to you and a lady named Ms. Georgia Hurd, the woman you say saved your life and transcended your purpose. Please tell our listeners about your transcending journey with Georgia Hurd. Better yet, please start off by telling our listeners who she was married to, Philip.
At the time, I didn't realize I was transcending, but Georgia is the wife of the murder victim, Michael Hurd. She was the victim of a robbery that went wrong.
So, when you say Georgia Hurd, she's the wife to the man you're on trial for murdering?
Yes.
And when was your first verbal encounter with Georgia?
Right after she got off the witness stand during my death penalty trial, 1984.
So this is during trial?
During my death penalty trial. I'd already been convicted of Michael's murder.
So then as she's being led down from the witness stand, she wants to address you?
Yes. She had asked my judge if she may have a brief moment to speak to me, and I agreed. She had said to me at that moment, "I am your teacher and you are my student. But tomorrow you shall be the teacher and you shall save many students." I didn't understand what she was talking about, just said, "Thank you."
And she just walked away.
And that was it.
And almost like a fortune cookie.
Right. And I was dumbfounded by it.
Okay, so then how long after that initial contact, a verbal exchange, before a steady communication blossomed, Philip?
About 8 months. After my orientation in the prison, I received a book in the mail entitled by Helen Keller.
You got a book out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere.
Then it's from Georgia Hurd.
From Georgia Hurd.
And she wants you to do what with this book?
She had underlined a quote in the book that read, "I'd rather walk in the dark with a friend than walk alone in the light," and asked me to memorize it and tell her what it means to me.
Okay, just for the sake of our listeners who might not know who Helen Keller was, can you please tell our listeners who Helen Keller was in history?
Helen Keller was a woman that couldn't speak, see, or hear like you and I can, or like most people in the world can. She had learned to speak in Braille, basically.
Okay, so now this quote, for our listeners' sake, can you say it again?
It was, "I'd rather walk in the dark with a friend than walk alone in the light." At the time, I must have stared at that quote and read it a thousand times easy, and I didn't understand it at first, but I felt obligated to read it because the Lord is saving my life.
So after reading it about a thousand times, Philip, I mean, what was your conclusion?
Everything kept coming back to me as love. That hell, I'd rather walk in the dark with somebody in love and in faith and in hope than walk alone like most of us do in the world and see in the light with no love, no hope, no faith like I did during the time of committing robberies and that led to the death of Michael Hurt.
Okay, so this is amazing because it's just unheard of. Victims, family wanting to engage us, and even more so, a life was lost, and then now the widow is basically friending you. What has been the next transformation? So you got this book. How much time now elapsed before there's another contact or she gets this answer from you?
She had sent me a letter asking for a visitation form. She had asked for a couple and an extra one in case she made a mistake, and asked if I had an answer to the quote. It took me a couple more months to even get around to sending the forms or even answering the question, because I was confused. I was young. I was like, why is this person wanting to talk to me like this?
So now you have the wife to your murder victim wanting to come see you inside a state penitentiary visiting room.
Yes.
And you were housed where?
Old Folsom at the time.
Old Folsom. And this woman lived where?
In San Bernardino County.
So she decided to take a drive. When yes. Most people can't even get their families to drive anywhere to see them.
Yes.
You're talking the widow that you created goes all the way up to Folsom to see you?
Yes.
Tell our listeners, please, about that first contact.
When she finally came up in the visiting room, first contact was she had slapped me. That was pretty hard. The whole visiting room went quiet and everybody stared, and she had said that it was for being naive and stupid. And then she hugged me and said, this is for your new life. I was very confused at the time, and we sat and started talking.
How many years has elapsed from that first talk and that trial to now she's sitting in this room just finished slapping you and telling you you're about to embark on a new journey?
It's been a little over a year since she'd asked my jury to spare my life.
Okay, so now she's a visitor. Does she start visiting you regularly?
First it was just the one, and a couple months later, one again, and within 6 months, it was more than one time. It was a couple times a month.
So how long did Miss Georgia Hurst stay in your life?
About 30 years.
Can you say that again?
About 30 years.
30 years?
Yes.
Do you understand that some people can't even make it through marriage past a year, 2 years? 30 years.
Yeah, she became more than just the wife of a victim. She became a mother in some respects to my life.
Yeah, I'd say, so you do realize, Philip, that what you guys were doing here in our modern era, call it restorative justice. And what restorative justice is, Philip, is when the offender, which is you, a victim or a victim's kin, because some of our victims are no longer here, and then the community. So it's a three-pronged action that makes restorative justice, because the third prong is the community. So you have to have the offender, the victims, and the community come as one for the amends process for the sake of healing. And that's what we're trying to push forward now. That is why I asked you for this interview, and you wanted to name it Transcending. You were doing it by a spirit that was led, obviously, by Miss Heard, when this was not even heard of.
It's very true. Her faith was unshakable. I have not met nobody like her who had such a strong faith in God.
Okay, did your family and her start to engage?
Yeah, a few years after, about 5 years into my sentence, they started engaging. She had asked to speak with my family when the opportunity arose. And they, out of mere coincidence, they both showed up at the same time to visit me, and that's how they met and visited.
So let me ask you, you know, we get told not to ask for forgiveness from our victims because they could offend, and it's a hard way to express yourself to someone you know you victimized. I want to ask you, Philip, because we're getting close to the end of this interview, is did you physically ask for forgiveness?
No, I did not. I didn't believe it was my duty to do so. It had to be her choice to forgive me.
Obviously, she was willing to forgive me from the beginning, wasn't she?
Yes, she had said that we'll talk about that as time goes. Her purpose was wanting to know what I'm going to do with my life. How am I going to live it? Just because I'm in a cage doesn't mean I stop living. What am I going to do to reach out and look for a better tomorrow? Was her purpose. And she was led by her faith in doing so.
I'd have to say this woman is just as amazing as Helen Keller. And I can see why this woman chose Helen Keller. Helen Keller obviously was a heroic figure to this woman, and then she paid it forward to give it to you. We only have a couple minutes left because we only get these 15-minute allowances. But for our listeners, because you named it Transcending, in a minute's time, Philip, could you explain that to us? Can you tell us what you transcended?
I transcended from a adolescent youth who was wild, who had no faith or hope or direction in life except to take. But because of her, I was able to find faith. I was able to help get involved in a children's foundation in the county of San Bernardino by doing a documentary to bring at-risk awareness to children like myself at the time. She helped me reach out to the community, helped me get out of gang life, helped save my own father. She was able to get me to see more than a box, get me to see more than just living in a cage and waiting to die by the hands of a sentence called Elwha.
So, Philip, we got 30 seconds left, man, and this story is so powerful. What I'm going to do is, first off, thank you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give the blessing to the sake that this is an amazing story, and I'm going to leave this open to the comment section in our YouTube channel. For all our listeners, if you want to hear any more of this story or where you want this story to go into its next direction, please drop in the comments. Philip, we thank you.